I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, Episode 81, looking back at the first ever trip to Richmond, a 21-8 loss Saturday, and ahead to an old familiar foe, the St. Joe's Hawks, this Saturday, joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
Well, it's one of those games they get three goals in 45 seconds, then they add on a fourth, and you call the timeout, but it's just hard to put the plug back in the dam when that happens.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I think the a lot of things going right for Richmond early in that game, and a lot of things going wrong for Hobart. You know, I think the one of the most frustrating parts, Ted, and this has been a season long frustration, is how enjoyable of a trip it was. You know, I think we left on Thursday and you know, had good weather. Sun came out as we started driving further south, and had a nice dinner Thursday. Stayed in one hotel. Get down there Friday. We had a banger of a practice. I mean, we're sharp as all hell, and the ball was moving all over the place. Everything we went over was redundant to these guys. They knew the game plan in and out. And then went and had a great dinner. Had a great senior speech. Wake up Saturday, our guys were fired up, ready to play, and you know, they come out. It's like that Mike Tyson statement, you know, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth, and they just came out hot. We did not. It wasn't for a lack of focus or a lack of energy. It was one of the most, you know, kind of intense stretches and warm-ups that we've had. So unfortunately, that's a great team that we made too many errors against, and they were in a groove that day where, much like that Cornell game, when we made an error, they scored a goal, and we just didn't play well, Ted. It's not so much of what Richmond did throughout the course of that game, but just, you know, how poorly some of our best played in pretty key spots. And you know, anytime we got a defensive stop, which did happen, doesn't seem like it when you score 21 goals, but we'd get a defensive stop and we turn it over offensively. It's kind of that, you know, going back to that that conversation we had early in the season about complementary lacrosse, and you know, how one end helps the other, and we just didn't have that. So you know, kind of Murphy's Law on a Saturday. We're disappointed and frustrated, and you know, focused very hard on how we bounce back and what this team looks like Saturday when St. Joe's comes to town.
Defensively, in the early part of the UMass game, you had sticks on sticks. They weren't getting good looks at the goal. Their middies weren't able to dodge. And from the late part of that game and through this game, it just seemed like a lot of the goals they scored were midfielders just being able to dodge to the middle of the field and get their hands free. Is that what you saw?
A little bit. You know, I don't think we played the ball well at all. You know, I think through that early shell shock of what's going on, I mean, you know, they scored goals in all ways that first quarter, where, you know, even their faceoff guy who's got pressure fires a ball off his back foot to number 14, who lights a low to high in the first quarter. You know, I just think they're kind of moving on all cylinders. A lot of those goals they scored early were great execution, and I think throughout the course of each possession going forward, when they were scoring those goals to give themselves a 7-goal run or an 8-goal run, we keep trading guys from a defensive possession or an offensive possession who just aren't staying focused on the discipline on the ball and the correct person to support the ball. I think one of the toughest things that we saw was, you know, how dialed in we were in our review on Friday and Thursday about who our support was coming from. That was a big part of this game plan from Coach Fish, and he did all the right things. We took a lot of time to figure out, you know, how to make sure 21, 14, and the ways we could get number 5 to have a challenging day and to still support their middies who, like we talked about last Thursday, Ted, are very two-handed, love to get over the top and see the field and dodge from spaces where it's hard to get them to one specific spot in the field. But we talked a lot about keeping them one way, where the support was coming from, and as you know, things started to go their way, I just don't think we focused a lot on those details that the game plan called for. So a very good team, You know, honestly, Ted, from the way they scored goals and the way we played offense, and I just, you know, I hope that our guys can continue to fight through this fortitude, which they are this week. They again, inevitably been great this week. I'd really like to play them again and put our best foot forward and see what happens.
You picked up a third faceoff violation 5.5 minutes in. How big a factor was that? I mean, no matter how good a faceoff guy is, when you're on the clock, so to speak, you have to be a little bit careful when you go out there for the last 16 minutes of that half.
Yeah, they were whining and complaining about Shea just because he's good before the game and what his stance looks like and what he's got to do and all this crap. And then, you know, out of the first six faceoffs, Ted, there's four violations. That's just terrible officiating. There's no way to draw it up. It's awful officiating. Even if someone's going a little bit early, like, put your whistle in your pocket and shut up. I mean, let the guys face off. You know, you go to a different place where, you know, you have some refs that are maybe a little bit new to this game, or officials that are a little bit new to this game, and they have such a dramatic impact on the first quarter. Like, you know, I can't stand it. That's where the face-off has got to change, is how impactful official is for a face-off. The great officials talk through the rules, blow the whistle, and step away. And if the guy goes early, he wins the friggin' face-off. So, I mean, this ain't high school ball. You don't have to, you know, coordinate or make a soap opera out of what's happening at the face-off dot. So any game where the first six face-offs, there's four violations, the officials are doing a crappy job. That's all I can say.
I want to back up and take a look. There's the sort of the theme of this whole year, to me, if there's one thing I can look at, it's shooting the ball. You got only 33 shots in that game, and just barely half of them made it on target. What do you do to get more shots and better shots? We talk about this, seems like, every week.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, I think the continuity with who's playing has changed every week, too. And so, you know, what we're looking at offensively is not so much like, you know, which shots and this and that. It's like, who's on the field and who's going to be shooting for us? That, I mean, each week it's changed. And then it changes Thursday before the game, or somebody, you know, rolls an ankle or this and that and da-da-da. I mean, each week's been tumultuous for these guys. There's a new first midfield line. There's a new second midfield line where, you know, we've got a deep bench one day, we got a short bench the other game. And so I think that's part of the issue, is that, you know, the guys that we're putting in these spots, you know, it's changed a little bit week to week. That any offense, I think, would struggle a little bit with that. But, you know, we can't do it a different way, Ted, but work. You know, we can't wish the ball into the net. We can't, you know, pray to the great creator that, hey, can this shot please go to a place where the goalie can't save it or it goes on goal. We have to work. I mean, we have to put it into repetition. So we've talked about it on this podcast the last 4 weeks, and we can't do it any differently. Coach Brundage is out on the field right now. He has been since 8 a.m. with guys that are committed to what we do, committed to scoring more goals, and committed to playing better. And they're shooting. You know, they've got their stick work in point. Like, that's another thing too. Is Saturday the stick work was terrible. And again, there's no. I wish I could tell you, Ted, exactly why, because Friday's practice and Thursday's practice, our stick work was excellent. I don't know the exact reason why, besides maybe some guys getting nervous, maybe some guys worrying about the outcome, being more outcome driven than process driven. I can't tell you. If I did, we wouldn't be 3-7. I know that. But we have got to be able to first handle the ball better. I mean, we had 23 turnovers, and 18 are with our first attack and our first two midfield lines. Just bad passes that they don't really make throughout the week. So, you know, I don't have a great reason as to why that perimeter stick work looked like such crap. And I don't have a great reason to why our guys shoot the ball low to low when we tell them not to, or, you know, in those tight spaces, don't keep their hands high or change the plane of their shot, whatever it may be. You know, maybe it's we played three great goaltenders 3 weeks in a row, which always makes you think a little bit. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Will Mark and Matt Note, and then this guy from Richmond, they're the three very good goaltenders. So, you know, maybe our guys are thinking too much before they shoot. So we go into this week and say, you know, we just got to get our hands free. We got to let the ball fly. That's as simple as we can do it. You know, when we've been playing well and winning games, we're shooting the ball over 45 times, you know. But Ted, at the same time, if we're going to shoot the ball, we got to have it. You know, we've got to, I mean, we've got to capitalize on face-off wins. We've got to capitalize on clears. I mean, we clear the ball 92% and we win the face-offs at 55%. We've got to take care of the ball better and limit the turnovers. If we do, then the shots go up, the amount of shots we have go up, and the amount of goals that we have on the scoreboard go up. So it's a whole microcosm of things. I mean, we've got to make sure, especially going into St. Joe's week with an intense 10-man ride and a bunch of pressure all over the field and very similar to a Colgate team, that we find a way to have the ball. We find a way to have multiple shot possessions. We find a way to have multiple shot clock possessions. That's when, you know, you see more shots on the goal and more shots that look pretty good because we're tiring out a defense, we're moving the ball well, and all that good stuff. So shooting is an issue for sure, but we got to work the cut better, man. Like, we got to pay attention to these details offensively and make sure the ball's moving side to side as best as it can.
What do the players say about these things, if anything? Do you go to your captains, your leaders after the game or during the week and say, guys, we've talked about doing X, Y, and Z, and then you hit the field and don't do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked till we're blue in the face, man. It's, you know, it's time to show up. It's time to play. You know, the X's and the O's will take you so far that the Jimmys and the Joes got to step up. And the guys know that, you know, these guys want to win, man. They're great guys. There's no way around it. You know, this is why we recruit great people and great families, because, you know, when you have this type of season, which is not the way you draw it up or not the way you want, and is that you still have a group that's going to fight. And, you know, I think the meetings we have don't place blame or pass judgment. I mean, that's not good leadership. The meetings that we have are about, all right, how are you feeling on game day? Is there anything we can change in our warm-up? Is there anything we can change throughout the week? And ultimately, it's our decision, and they'll offer some suggestions, and we'll go, yeah, we're not doing that. So, I mean, you just got to listen a little bit better in these moments and blah, 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 blah. But that's the thing. Like I said, you know, if you have a great trip with these guys, if you love spending time with them and, you know, everything and anything under the sun, besides the frustration in a game like Saturday, you've got to turn the page and you got to look onward, because if you start pointing fingers and you start asking why and you start, you know, trying to get play out of a guy by talking it out, it's not really how it works, man. The play is from the repetition, as I always say. And our guys are too superficial in their timeline right now. I mean, they forget about what we did in September, you know, how we started this thing and all the work that we've put in. And I'm telling you, Ted, it's a lot. You know, we've put in a ton of work. And I think the up and down of the season, a lot more downs than ups in a lot of cases, it gets you right into this past week, and then it has you tight. And you're looking in this past week and going, okay, well, this happened with Richmond. What are we going to do? It's like, okay, well, let's look back at, you remember on Saturdays in November, you know, how hard we ran you and how much stick work we did, how much shooting we did back then. And if you remind them, you know, you can start to spark a little bit of a fire that can carry you to the rest of the season. You know, so the talking, it ain't always it. Not, hey, you got to play this way. Our guys know. They really do. They want to win as badly as any Hobart team that I've coached. They're leading as fiercely as any Hobart team that I've coached. They're still asking for our purple team to be better. They're asking for guys to do more edge work. They're, you know, I drive into work Monday morning. I see Alex Rosa and Will Delano on the field at 7:30 a.m. shooting, getting them in, done. I mean, onward. What's next, right? And the only thing we can do that needs great correction, Ted, is playing better on game day. Throughout the course of the week, I mean, they're a pleasure. They do a great job. We challenge them hard. We challenge them hard this week and keep pushing. You know, Coach Raymond's raising his voice. He's asking them to run faster. He's asking them to focus more on an individual play. We're not going to stop pushing these guys to be the best versions of themselves. But at this point, the talking aspect of this thing has got to be almost routine for them. It's now time for those Jimmys and Joes to step up and play great lacrosse on Saturday. There's no doubt. But we're going to keep leading them as hard as we know how to.
One more thing on this game, and then I'll do the same and move on. And that is, I know this isn't your style, but did you ever consider at some point in the fourth quarter maybe emptying the bench and saying, let's see some guys that we haven't seen and see what they can do?
I mean, we did a little bit of that. And, you know, honestly, you know, I in that scenario, seeing what a guy can do when you're down, you know, that many goals, it's not an accurate assessment. You know, we put a couple seniors in and, you know, talked about different scenarios that we make. And then, you know, you put Anthony Stillwell or Connor DiTomaso or Max Snellenberg that, you know, that really deserve to be recognized. And, you know, Porter Johnson goes in that game for us. He was our dog of the week. So he goes in the third quarter and does some good things. I mean, you know, we obviously make that goalie switch and we got Cam Cooley on some wings and in there and, you know, Vinny Orlando in there in some different spots and Joel. So, I mean, Ted, we play a lot of guys, man. There's no doubt about it. And we're pretty proud of that. You know, I think when you get into that game, you know, I still want to see the guys that are on the field finish a 60-minute game, fight through the adversity, and figure out how we can gain some momentum going into the following week. You know, is it some good play here, some good play there? And I want them to fight till the last whistle. I don't want to take them out and give them and give them a reason to rest and give them a reason to pout. That's not who I am. And, you know, I wish I thought differently and just said, you know, and if we get to a point, Ted, in this season where, you know, the hope for the postseason is lost or the fight for the postseason is lost, which we are not at right now, I may think differently. But right now, I want to see Anthony DeTalis finish a 60-minute game, even though he's gotten the crap beat out of him for the first 52. And same with Rosie, same with Deli, same with Firth, same with all these guys. Now, you know, these young guys that aren't playing on the bench right now or this and that, they're going to have their shot. They're good players. But for now, this team's got to figure out how to fight, how to get tougher, and to finish this season better than we started it.
Well, when you talk about a fight, St. Joe's this weekend, they've had the upper hand. They've won the last six, but a lot of these have been one-goal games. A couple of them have been overtime. Generally, when these two teams play, it's a one- or two-goal game with a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, that's the way that it's going to be again. If we can show up here the way that I believe my team can, I know there's no love lost between these two groups. I mean, we've played them at least once a year since I've been here, and had some great victories over them, had some very tough losses, you know, last year and the year before, two very tough scenarios. And, you know, in a scenario last year where we, again, like this year, really needed a win. You know, we lost by one, having the ball with a couple seconds left, and not being able to put the ball into the net. But I think we recognize who this team is. We have full respect for them. They have started the year 0-3 and rattled off 7 in a row. I mean, they are they're in a good place, man. They're in a good place. And and full transparency, a much better place than us. So we as a group have been, you know, together as a team, figuring out the right message on how we're going to approach this game. And I wish, Ted, that we could make it about St. Joe's. I wish that we could say, hey, we don't like these guys. They don't like us. You know, the rivalry stands. This is where, but we're not in that place right now. This has got to be about Hobart. We know who St. Joe's is. They're very big. They're very long. They're very physical. They play a distinct style of offense where they run through you, a distinct style of defense where they slide to everything. They press your hands like crazy. And then they ride up front with a 10 man that is heavy pressure. So the question is, are we going to show intimidation? Are we going to show worry or show give up or show this? Or are we going to be the underdogs that we strive to be since, again, way back in late August and September? So I know who St. Joe's is, man. I could have told you what they're going to run before I watched any film this week. So and I feel like, you know, that they've had the same team here for, it feels like, 7 years. You know, I feel like I've been defending Levi Anderson since I started coaching. But you know, they're very good. We respect the hell out of them, but we've got to spend a lot of time on Hobart this week and make sure we're prepared mentally and emotionally to do what we need to do.
It's funny. I said the same thing. I started putting I said, Paige, he's still there. Bill Anderson, these guys aren't like seventh year seniors, but they're still there. You mentioned it, the 10-man ride. One of the most famous 10-man ride beaters in Hobart history was Brian Hancock in 2016 when he scored into the empty net and sealed that playoff win at their place. How do you handle that 10-man?
You know, I think St. Joe's knows us well enough to listen to this podcast. So we just get the biggest thing is we got to know it's coming. You know, we got to have, and it comes every time. So we got to have poise in these scenarios and listen to the coaching. And then, you know, our guys have to make great decisions with the ball, Ted. There isn't an exact way just because of how manic the ride is. But, you know, we've got to find through forward play some great vision in this ride. And our guys have to be confident and poised with the ball in their stick.
One of the guys that they don't have anymore, and I've fortunately forgotten their name, the great face-off guy. What was he's gone, at least.
Yeah, is that Cole?
Cole, thank yeah. God. And the funny thing is, the last time we were in Philadelphia, his parents were sitting right next to us, and they're the nicest people in the world. We tried real hard.
You want to hate guys like this.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Couldn't do
Cole.
It.
You want to hate Levi Anderson. You want to hate Matt Bomer. You want to hate all these guys, you know. And the simple fact of it is, I don't know him, you know, and I wish I could say I hate Taylor Ray. I don't. I think he's an awesome guy. I think he's an awesome coach. I think their whole staff is full of good people, you know, and, you know, Restivo, who used to score goals against us, doing a great job coaching that group. But, you know, they're competitors. They chirp, they talk, I think that's the big theme this year is like how much talking's going on out on the field, what the celebrations are like after the goal. I mean, we play in Richmond last week. They score their fourth goal. Their whole bench is like out at the hash on the field. It's like, you know, let's get a hold of this thing. And then you want to easily be impulsive and go, they're all, you know, they're bad people. Da da da. They're not. You know, I think they're very fierce competitors. Zach Cole was a fierce competitor, man. Carter Page, I think he chirps and talks as much as any guy we've played against, but he competes hard and he's tough. Same with Levi Anderson, same with Bomer. So if we make it anything other than playing tough lacrosse versus, you know, we have history with this guy, with these guys, the only reason why we should dislike them is because of how much they've beaten us and how much we've beaten them. And the back and forth with the St. Joe's team has been awesome over the years. So that's what we're tying into right now. And again, like you said, to start this rant, we're just super pumped that Zach Cole ain't there anymore.
All right. Well, the turnaround starts right now, Coach. You got three more. You win them, you're in. You win two, you might be in. But one at a time. So best of luck, and thanks as always for your time.
You said it, brother. Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. First of two in a row Saturday, 12 noon with St. Joseph's at Boswell Field. Find this podcast wherever you go to get your podcast, be it Google or Spotify or Apple or any other podcast source, and get all your athletics information from hwsathletics.com. Till next week, for Coach, have a great lacrosse week.